Good evening, everyone. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 in your Bible. And as I do every once in a while, as I read here, we'll read the first six verses. And as I sometimes do, I'll emphasize a couple of words to try to give you an idea of where we're headed tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. Are you there? All right. Verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So, emphasis on the word in verse 2, dispensation. Verse 3, revelation. Verse 3, also the word mystery. Some very important words that we'll take a look at this evening. All right, let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for giving us these pure scriptures. Lord, may we study them and search them tonight and just be edified, convicted. We pray that your word would go forth as you see fit. Pray that your Holy Spirit be our teacher tonight, certainly not me. And I just pray for your wisdom here in bringing forth this message, and pray that you would get glory out of it. Pray that we would be pointed to see just how you've worked in the past and how you work today as we study tonight. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so we are a church that is, if you didn't know this, we are dispensational. Did you know that? That's one of the things that drew Sherry and I to first come here is, if you look at what our church believes, we are dispensational. I know when I first saw that word long, long time ago, it scared me. Dispensation. It's actually a Bible word. There's a lot of systems of theology that you won't find in a Bible. Did you know that John Calvin, Calvinism, I hate to disappoint you, but that is not in the Bible. Calvinism, like the name, is not in the Bible. And there's a lot of heresy that goes along with that. But dispensations are in the Bible. Did you catch it in the verses we read? You see it? Verse 2? Let's see what Paul says here. Verse 2, he says, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Now watch this part right here. Which is given me to you ward. Okay, so we're going to look at four verses here in the New Testament that have the word dispensation. It's four times in your Bible, four times in the New Testament. We'll look at all of them here in a moment. But let's look at this one to start off with. It says, which is given me to you ward. So what you can take from that is, Paul had a responsibility that God gave him to give out the word of God to those that he came in contact with, right? And actually, it goes far beyond just the people he came in contact with. He wrote the book of Ephesians, didn't he? Here we are reading it today. So he gave it to us as well, all right? If you look at verse 3, that word mystery, actually the word revelation, how that by revelation. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have God's revelation? If you got a Bible in your lap, you have God's written revelation. Did you know God has also revealed himself in the creation? All right? That's called God's natural revelation, you could say. Only a fool looks at the creation and says there is no God, right? If you look at the creation and you're honest, you got to say there's a God. This is God's special revelation. It's written down directly from the mouth of God, all right? And then notice the word in verse 3, the mystery. And if you look here, Paul talks about this mystery, and this isn't the message tonight, but I'll just go ahead and tell you. The mystery he's talking about is actually in verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. We're going to go to the Old Testament here in a moment, and did you know that the Gentiles are not the main people of the Old Testament? Did you know that? The Gentiles don't have a prominent role. Now, they're there, don't get me wrong, but they don't have a prominent role. Today, the body of Jesus Christ is made up of Jews and Gentiles, and there's no difference. In the body of Christ, you don't point to that guy and say, there's a Jewish believer, there's a Gentile believer. Everybody is the same in the body of Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither male nor female. All right? It's the body of Christ. So if you would, let's look at three other places. Go to 1 Corinthians. Actually, we're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 1 first. Three other places where you find the word dispensation. And then we'll actually take a look at a couple of the dispensations this evening. I figured all seven would be a little too much. Got a couple of chuckles on that. All right. Look at verse Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 9. And notice some of the same words are going to show up here. Paul says, having made known to us. Let me back up here because this is some good stuff to read here. Go back to verse 7. Verse 7 of Ephesians 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. I got to say this before we go on here. Forgiveness of sins is available all through the Bible. All right? Forgiveness of sins is made all the way through the Bible through the blood of an innocent substitute. I'll show you that here in a minute. And you know what else is all through the Bible? The last word in verse 7. What is it? Do you need that? The word is grace. I'm standing here and breathing, and you're sitting there in the pew with a Bible in your lap of all things, and you have the ability to breathe by God's grace. Grace is a great thing, all right? Now look at verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Now look at verse 10, you'll see our word. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So there's one of the dispensations actually named. It's called the dispensation of the fullness of times. I can think of another place in your Bible where that's mentioned. Galatians 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. So this has to do with the time that we live in right now, the dispensation of the fullness of times. Okay, two more places. Go to 1 Corinthians. Go back a little bit here. 1 Corinthians 9. So in Ephesians 3, we had the responsibility that Paul had as given a dispensation. And then you actually have a name of one there in Ephesians 1. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Go down to verse 16. And look what Paul says here. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Notice again, that word dispensation is connected with a responsibility that Paul had. Okay, I'm getting some funny looks out here. So I'm going to bring in the props. I brought some props along with me here. I have, this is Walgreens Ultra Strength Muscle Rub. It's in a container. The things you find in your wife's purse when you need something to use. It's in a container. Okay, you see the container? Do you know what's in the container? Walgreens Extra Strength Muscle Rub is in the container. With the cap on, I cannot get the extreme muscle rub out of the container. If I take the cap off, well, I'm not going to do it, but if I squeeze, do you know what's happening? I am, you ready for it? Dispensing the extra strength muscle rub. You know what this container is right here? It is a dispenser. Do you know what Paul was? Do you know what you're supposed to be if you're saved? A dispenser. Look, what does he say right here? A dispenser of, look at verse 17. A dispensation of what? The gospel is committed unto me. A Christian is supposed to be a dispenser of God's truth. The gospel, right? I have another one for you. If you don't like that one, here's a sweeter one for you ladies. This one smells a lot better than that one too. This is cucumber melon. Hand sanitizer. For ladies only, right, Brandon? Inside there is the cucumber melon hand sanitizer. I can't get it until, here we go, step number one, open. Step number two, squeeze, and what happens? I have dispensed the hand sanitizer, right? This container right here is nothing more than a dispenser. Folks, that is exactly what Paul's talking about here. We are supposed to be dispensers of God's Word, right? Okay, so I got somebody's attention on that. All right, somebody's falling asleep already. So one more place. Go to Colossians 1, and then we'll run in several places in Genesis. But go to Colossians chapter 1. All right, last place that the word dispensation is mentioned. Only four times in your Bible. Go to Colossians 1, and if you go to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, did you catch something in that verse? That's where we get the saying that the church is the body of Jesus Christ. It's right there in that verse. For his body's sake, that's the body of Christ, which is the church. That's why we say the body of Christ, then the church. That's where that comes from. All right, verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Notice in verse 25, there's something, if you read that, there's something about Paul being given a responsibility by God to be a dispenser of God's truth. And notice he says there, it's given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Look at verse 26. Another word shows up again that we saw earlier. Even the mystery. Now watch this. Which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, this is a mystery that Paul refers to. Folks, did you know that if you're saved, Jesus Christ lives where? According to that verse right there, he lives in you. Okay, go back to the Old Testament and talk to Abraham. Say, Abraham, did you know that Christ lives in you? He's going to say, what are you talking about? Jesus Christ wasn't even born yet, right? You go back to the Old Testament and talk to any of the Old Testament saints and you say, hey, you must be born again. They would have the same reaction that Nicodemus had. Because you understand that Paul gives you information. There's information in the New Testament that is not revealed until New Testament times. Okay, so if you're a little confused here, let's go back to your Old Testament here, and I'll kind of take you through this. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Or actually, go to chapter 2 first. So I'll tell you this. I never really got a handle on how the Bible fits together until I started looking at this whole thing about dispensations. I won't turn there because you should know the verse, but I'll reference this verse. 2 Timothy 2:15. Memorize it if you don't know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God. How do you show yourself approved unto God? You better study. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How do you go about studying? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? God's method of Bible study is rightly dividing. Okay, did you know that most Bible-believing Christians are dispensationalists, whether they know it or not? How many testaments you got in your Bible? You got an Old Testament? You got a New Testament? That's two automatic divisions, right? Most people recognize those two, right? And then they stop there. Did you know that you can actually divide the Bible a little further? This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about Jesus Christ, and Luke 24 mentions the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. That would be three divisions of your Old Testament, right? Okay, so understand, you can divide up your Bible, and you say, why are we even bothering with this? Here's why we're bothering with this. You need to know what your responsibility is today, and when you look at what man's responsibility was in times past, you can learn a lot more about how serious the responsibility you have today really is. Okay? So here's what you will say. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Here's what you can say about every dispensation. Every dispensation, and you can call a dispensation a time period, although it's more than that. But in every dispensation, there is a responsibility given to either one person or a group of people. All right? Every dispensation, God puts them to the test. Guess what happens in every dispensation? Most men during the time period fail to do what God said. You know what happens when men fail to do what God said? You know what happens? God has no choice, folks. He's a holy, just, and righteous God. What does he do? He has no choice but to bring down judgment. All right? So you got a responsibility, a test to see if you're going to actually do what God said. And for those who fail to do what God said, there's judgment. All right? Let's look at the first one here, Genesis 2. You know, if God just would have put me in a garden In a perfect paradise, everything would be fine. Did you know what God does all through the Scriptures? He puts man in every conceivable circumstance and puts him to the test. And you know what man does every time? Fails. Every single time. You know what you got here in Genesis 2 and 3? You got a man and a woman in a perfect environment, a sinless environment, right? They don't even know what sin is. And if they had a Bible, look at Genesis 2:16. You're going to find out what their Bible would look like. You have 66 books. They had two verses. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You know, you'll find out in the dispensations, God will say, if you don't do what I said, this is what the penalty is. This is a punishment. Did he do it right there, folks? He did it. So Adam and Eve had a Bible made up of how many verses? Genesis 2:16 and 2:17. What is their responsibility? Their responsibility is eat freely of every tree except for one. Now, how easy is that? That's got to be a piece of cake, right? You and I would have passed that one, right? Okay, I'm kidding when I say that. In every dispensation, the responsibility is given, and then man is put to the test. Want to see the test? Go to the next chapter. Go to chapter 3. And many of you know this, but I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's ever been a time where I've read this chapter and not seen something I didn't see the previous time. This thing is just... Folks, if you don't get Genesis chapter 3 right, you're going to have a hard time getting the rest of your Bible right. You have the first appearance of the devil in Genesis chapter 3. You have an attack immediately on the pure Word of God in Genesis chapter 3. Did you know that? Okay, why study dispensations? Satan is going to use the same tactics today that he used back here in the garden. He's doing really well at it today. Look at what happens here in verse 1, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman. First thing that comes out of the serpent's mouth. What's the first word that comes out of his mouth? Yay! Power of positive thinking, right? Really? Serpent's positive. Isn't that something? That's really telling. The first thing he ever speaks in the Bible is something positive. I recently took a class, an education course, graduate course. Are you ready for this? This is modern education. Modern education, if you're an educator today, they recommend that every time you correct a student, for every one time you correct a student, that student needs to have five positive comments made to him. 5-1. It's kind of interesting. You know what 5 is in your Bible? 5 is the number of death in your Bible. Read Genesis chapter 5. It's the Bible's obituary, the first one in your Bible. But 5-1, really? I thought that when you did the compliment sandwich, I thought that was pretty good. You know, you said the positive and then the negative and the positive. I thought that was okay. 5? Folks, you see what's happening? You know what this world is going to push on you? Be positive. Stay positive. Everything's going to be okay. It's all right. And they leave God completely out of the picture. All right? You know what happens if you think positive all the time? You go to hell. I'm okay. Everything's fine. All right? You need to deal with the negative of God's judgment on sin. It really is hell. There's nothing positive about that. You got to deal with that. Or else you end up there. All right? So look at what he says here. Yea. And then the next three words. Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You notice what's at the end of verse 2 right there? See that punctuation mark? Kind of interesting, isn't it? Crooked, isn't it? You see that? Kind of like the serpent who's saying it. You know what the serpent does, folks? He's doing it. He did it back then, however many thousand years ago it was. He's doing it today. You know what he does? He wants every time, now this is not just unsaved people, he wants every time a Bible-believing Christian opens his Bible to say, I wonder if this is really true. Folks, I've been there, have you? I'll open it up and I'll come across something, I'll say, man, that's the strangest thing. Little voice will say, you really believe that? And you're faced with that constantly if you spend some time in your Bible. You got to believe that what God's telling you here is true. Instead of, I wonder if this is really the truth or not. Because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to cast doubt on what God said. All right, so verse 2. Notice, who did God give the command to? And back in chapter 2, did you remember? gave it to the man. Who did the serpent approach? The weaker vessel. Now, you can say what you want about equal rights and all, but God put the man to be over the woman for a major reason. You know what it is? Protection. All right, so here she is alone. And what happens to her? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And if we had more time, we could really dive into this. Did you notice what Eve did in that verse? God never said anything about touching that tree. She's added to the Word of God right there. We could spend the rest of the night right here, folks. Today, the world you live in, you have... This happens in Bible colleges and seminaries as much as anywhere. You have people casting doubt on whether or not what God gave us here is true or not. You have people adding to it. You have people subtracting from it. You have people changing it. All right? Look happens here in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What did God say? Thou shalt surely die. You know what the serpent does? He wants to make it seem like disobedience to God is not all that big of a deal, and God really wouldn't punish you like he said he would. That's why you got a lot, I hate to say it like this, but you got a lot of soft-sounding preachers in pulpits today that don't want to tell people the truth. Because, same thing right there, minimize the punishment. Don't make it sound as bad as it really is. Pastor's been through, and Charlotte mentioned, been through cancer. Can you imagine if the doctor detected cancer and then said, you're okay, go on home? What a sham of a doctor that would be. You want the doctor to tell you the truth so you can get to the root of the problem and take care of it, right? You know what's a bigger problem than cancer? Sin. All right? Sin will get, you'll live a lot worse off because of sin and not having your sin paid for than anybody that ever had any kind of disease. All right? Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And if you take the time to look at that, there's actually a little bit of truth mixed in there with some error. That's what the devil does. Verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. How did a man and a woman in the perfect environment fare with a Bible that only had two verses? How'd they do, folks? Failure. What must God do when he gives man a responsibility and the man fails to keep the responsibility? What does God have to do? He's got to bring judgment. So here's the judgment. Let's look at verse 13. Genesis 3. The Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the serpent, now here's the first judgment on the serpent. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. More about the devil here in verse 15. I will put enmity between thee, that's the serpent, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You have actually a whole lot that carries out of the future here. Judgment pronounced to the serpent here in verses 14 and 15. Did you see that? So the first person that gets judged is the serpent. Go to verse 16. You get the woman. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Folks, that is true in the year 2016. What it says there about sorrow and conception in childbirth. You mean you really believe that women have pain in childbirth because of what happened way back here? You see how this can creep into your mind? You can think, really? Is that really why women have that problem in childbirth? Yes, that's the reason why. So you know what else that means, folks, is if Adam and Eve had not sinned and Eve would have had a child, you know what would have happened? For you ladies that have had children? Painless childbirth. Wow. All right. Verse 17, God's going to address Adam. Here's the judgment pronounced on Adam. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Okay, so several things right there. First off, the ground gets cursed. Thorns and thistles come from the ground, and now what's Adam got to do? He's going to have to work hard and sweat in order to till the ground. Brother John next door has been doing a lot of work. He knows all about that. He's been doing a lot of work over there. You got to sweat, especially when you live in Florida, to break the ground. When you take a shovel, you're going to put forth some effort. It's going to cost you some sweat. Thank you, Adam. That's judgment pronounced to Adam that carries over all the way to today. You understand how important it is you get it right in Genesis chapter 3? Everything we've read here in the last 4 or 5 verses here is still active today. Why is that? You get the answer in the Bible, folks. You get the answer in Genesis chapter 3 as to why women have pain in childbirth, why there's thorns that come up off the ground, and why I have to sweat in order to make a living. You get all that right there in Genesis chapter 3. So first dispensation, responsibility. Eat of all the trees except for one. How'd they do? Failure, God's judgment goes to the serpent, goes to the woman, goes to the man. All right? So we got one down, and it's terrible. And what's going to happen here is what happened in Genesis chapter 3 with the first dispensation. The next dispensation, everything that happened here for judgment carries over. And it carries over all the way to today. All right, so if you read theological books, they'll call that first dispensation the dispensation of innocence. I don't find that in the Bible, but you can call it whatever you want. Why innocence? Help me out here. Why innocence? Adam and Eve are in an innocent state in the Garden of Eden. When they sin, there's no longer any innocence. All right? Now they actually know the difference, and this is important in the next dispensation. They know the difference between good and evil. Folks, they knew nothing of sin before. What a great thing. You know, it's good that you don't know certain things. It's really good that you just not know certain things and not investigate them either. All right. So now man has, you could say, a conscience because he knows the difference between good and evil. So let's go to the next one here. And it's going to be actually in chapter 4. Go to chapter 4. And there's people do these different, you know, I can't tell you that this is the way it has to be. This is the way that I learned this, and this is the way I'm going to give it to you. I suppose that you could have a lot more than the dispensations that most people go through. You could probably do this a little bit different, but I'll show you how, this is how I saw it. This one is in Genesis chapter 4. And so far, when you get to Genesis chapter 4, you know that God takes sin very seriously, right? And you also know, I got to back up here to chapter 3 for a minute. You also know that when a man and a woman sin, that God does something for them that's really good. I skipped that, so let me go back to that. Look at verse 21 of chapter 3. This is very important. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Okay, you ever seen an animal that was skinned? Ever seen that before? Deer? Something like that? All right. What's going to happen when you skin an animal? Massive amount of, help me out, bloodshed. In order for Adam and Eve to have clothing, why do they need clothing, by the way? They didn't know they were naked until after they sinned, right? Now they need clothing. In order for Adam and Eve to be clothed, what had to happen? An innocent animal had to die. Its blood had to be shed so that they could be clothed. Now you see how that carries over to today? How are you saved? An innocent substitute, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. His blood had to be shed so I can wear garments of righteousness before God. Doesn't matter what kind of clothes I got on. Before God, I've got a garment of righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did for me. So you see how you get it right there. It carries over all through the rest of your scriptures. All right? So go to chapter 4. If you look here at chapter 4, this is Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel know that God takes sin seriously. Cain and Abel know that the way to be clothed is through the death of an innocent substitute. They know something about blood being shed and having to do with sins being taken care of, right? So how do you know that? Keep going here. Look at chapter 4. Verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. That sure wasn't the truth, was it? Verse 2. And she again bare Abel, his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep. Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. All right? What's going on here, folks? Is the Lord playing favorites? He likes Abel better than he likes Cain? Not at all. What happens here is God receives one sacrifice and rejects the other. Which one does he receive? The one that has bloodshed, right? And the other one is rejected. It's got nothing to do with Cain. It's got to do with what kind of offering he brought. All right? Look at verse 7. By the way, I didn't mention this earlier before we read here. In every dispensation you look at, in any part of your Bible, you see God's grace. All right? If I did say that again, I needed to say it again. Every dispensation you look at all through your Bible, God gives man his word, and it's up to man to believe on his word and obey his word. And when he doesn't do that, what happens? The judgment falls, right? So let's see what happens here. You're going to see the grace of God here with Cain in verse 6. Look at this. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Notice what God did there in verses 6 and 7? Did you catch it? He gave Cain another shot and said, you know what the right thing to do is. Your dad told you what to do, Adam. You saw what your brother did, bringing the blood sacrifice, and he gives him another chance there. So let's see what Cain responds with. I love verses 6 and 7. That's God's grace right there. Give him another chance. Verse 8. You know, a man doesn't have to take the grace of God. He doesn't have to. God doesn't force it on anybody. And look what happens to Cain. Verse 8. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Now, the way I see this, and maybe I'm wrong on thinking this, but I almost see this as Cain saying, oh, you want to see some blood? I'll give you some blood. But it wasn't the right kind of blood. Isn't that something? Here you have the first murder in your Bible, and look what God says here in verse 9. The Lord said unto Cain, more grace here. Look at this. Trying to get him to come clean. Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Smart aleck. Isn't he a smarty? Now you see why I say what I said about him saying, oh, Lord, you want blood? This guy's got a real attitude. All right. Remind you of... Never mind. People don't change, do they? All through the dispensations, people are the same, aren't they? You find people, if you read through the book of Genesis, you will find one person after another that you can identify with. That thought like you, that acted like you. And some may be good and some not so good. But look for that as you read your Bible. All right, verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. You got some talking blood going there. Verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And what you have here, I'm just going to save some time here. You have God judging Cain for his disobedience. All right? So how are we doing so far? God gives a two-verse Bible to two men, to a man and a woman in a garden. And how'd they do? They fail. God's judgment falls. God allows man to operate by his conscience, knowing right from wrong. And how'd that work out for him? Knowing about sin being taken care of by blood sacrifice, how'd that work out? Failure. So Cain gets judged, all right? Now, this one actually goes on here. Go over to chapter 6 of Genesis, chapter 6. And you could say, you could put this in the same dispensation, actually, or you could make it a different one. I think this one kind of goes along with what we just read. If you look at verse 1, this is Genesis 6, 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth, on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, very important when you see that in your Bible, watch, pay attention to what he says here. My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. All right? It sounds like God has got to the place where he says, I'm looking out at what I'm seeing, and I've got no choice but to judge because all I see is wickedness. All right, go down there to verse 5. You'll see this. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Now watch this part. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sound familiar? Sound anything like today? See how things don't change much? All right? Some things just never really change. If you look at verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found, there's our word. Isn't that great? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Here's what you find when you study dispensations. Most people in that particular dispensation reject what God said and they get judged. But in every dispensation, you know what you have? You have at least one person, and usually it's a group of people at least, that they actually do what God said. And you know what happens to them? They escape God's judgment. And that's what happens to Noah right here. If you go to chapter 7, actually, I'll keep reading there in chapter 6. Go down there to verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. Here's what God does at the end of this dispensation, but he tells Noah what to do to escape judgment. Aren't you glad that God gives a way to escape his judgment every time you read about something going like in the Bible like this with every dispensation? Every one of them. I'll fast forward here to the end of the message, but I'll go ahead and tell you this. Has God given you a way to escape his judgment today? Yep. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's how you escape the judgment of God. Most people today, what have they done with that? What have they done with the message? Have nothing to do with it. They've rejected it. But you know what? God's got a remnant, doesn't he? Might be a small group of people, but all through history, God's had a small group of people, especially since the time of Jesus Christ, that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved. Are you one of those? Are you part of that? A little small group of people. You're in the minority, and you're seeing this more today than you ever have. You're in the minority, and it's so much more important when you're in the minority that you just keep on doing what God said to do in spite of everybody around you doing just the opposite. You live in that world today, folks. Sherry was the one, I didn't watch almost no news this week, and it was great. It was awesome. You should try it. So then, you know, you hear stuff, you hear people talk. Here's what I found out about it. If you go without news, don't watch it, don't pull it up online, somebody, if it's really important, somebody will end up telling you about it. And that's actually what happened this week. It's like, what are you talking about, this whole Dallas thing? I had an idea. So then I started doing a little search about it. I wish I hadn't done any search on it. You know? There's nothing good. But you know what you find out? People are more adamantly against God's truth every day. They want less and less of God and more of themselves every day. That's the world we live in. What are you going to do? You better get more and more of God and less of you and less of the news every day. It'll do you a lot of good to get a whole lot less of that news and a whole lot more of the Lord. You want some good news? You got plenty of good news right here. All right? Plenty to read. Folks, there's several hours worth of reading here. All right? Several days worth of reading, really. Okay, so let's see what happens here. Verse 14. Let's see what God tells Noah. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, I don't know about you, but I really believe that this ark could not compare to any modern vehicle that goes in the water. I think that the ark is way better. I think that when he puts this thing together and builds this, if we were to look at it today, it would be an engineering, it would just be a genius of engineering. And why do I say that? Who told him how to build it? God himself told him how to build it. Now, it might have been with not all the fancy stuff that we have today, no electronics and all, just raw materials. But isn't that God, what God uses? Just raw materials. The tabernacle was made up of all these things that God made. And a beautiful thing it was. And then the temple. And here you have, I think, something that would, nothing that's ever been made would compare to this, as far as something that goes in the water. All right, verse 15. This is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. And he lays all this out. Go down to verse 17. And behold, I do bring a what? Okay, so here's the second major judgment you've got. The first one came on Adam and Eve, and that was everybody. That was the entire human race at the time, wasn't it? Here's one that's going to come on the entire human race as well. Unless somebody obeys what God said here, and actually Noah does. I do bring a flood, verse 7, a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall what? There's the judgment of God. The wages of sin is every time, 100% of the time, the wages of sin is death. Okay, so God lays out the whole plan for him. I'm not going to take time to read that. You can. Really interesting, over in the New Testament, you find out in 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, 5 says this. It says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Did you know that? So Noah was a builder. You know what else he was? He was a preacher. What was he preaching? Well, at that particular time, I got to think he's telling people, get right with God. And the way you get your sins forgiven in Noah's day is you better have a blood sacrifice. See how things, some things never change. You want to get right with God today? What do you got to have? A blood sacrifice. And there's only one that you can have. That's Jesus Christ. All right. But you understand where we are in the Bible. This is before Jesus Christ shows up and offers himself as the ultimate sacrifice. Okay. So you see what happens here. Go to verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come now and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. It pays to obey what God tells you to do. Amen? He escapes God's wrath. In fact, if you keep reading here, you find out that God's wrath is all around him, but God's wrath never touches Noah. You know why? He's safe in the ark. Did you know that if you're saved, Jesus Christ is your ark? So you see, as you go through these dispensations, you will see all kinds of connections to your salvation today. You see it with the lamb that was shed for Adam and Eve. You see it with the ark that Noah made. Are you in the ark? Are you in Jesus Christ? Read Paul's letters. You know what Paul says over and over? He talks about this thing about being in Christ. Because you know where the only safe place to be is? In Christ. You know how you get in Christ? You receive him as your Savior. All right? So there's Noah, and that second dispensation, how does it end, folks? Same way the first one did. Judgment of God. Why does the judgment of God fall? Because most of the people, I mean, think about this, millions of people, maybe even billions at this time, as long as they lived, millions if not billions of people die, how many people survive? 8. If you were to do 8 out of 1 million, you're going to get 0.000, several zeros percentage, 0.1 percentage. I don't know how many zeros, but it's going to be a lot. That's the percentage of people who actually did what God said and took him seriously. Isn't that something? Are you in that little small minority today? I really think that if you really look at the grand scheme of things and all the people in the world, it's a really small group of people that are saved. You know, we think we're here being in the South in America, you know, we got a lot of saved people. Amen. I'm glad for that. Not very many other places in the world are like that, though. In fact, it's godless in most places. All right, let's look at the next one here real quick. Just got a few minutes here left. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 9. So they get off the ark. So let's start all over again, right? Start all over again in chapter 9. Let's see what God tells Noah. You really want to pay attention. You know, we haven't read everything here that God said in the first few chapters, but I challenge you to take some time and read the first 11 chapters here. And look at every time the Bible says, and God said, or and the Lord said, and really pay attention. Because you know what you'll find out? A lot of what you have in the first 11 chapters is not God talking. It's recorded as history for us, but it's not God giving commands to men. In fact, the commands given by God to man don't come heavily until you get to Moses and the Ten Commandments, right? So a lot of this is history, and I understand it's the Word of God. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's God speaking to us, but whenever God is actually speaking from chapters 1 to 11, there's not actually a whole lot. We've actually read quite a bit of it here tonight. All right, if you go to chapter 9, look at verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, watch the instructions here. Here's the responsibility given to Noah. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that move upon the earth, upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Okay, so notice in verse 1 there, they're given the responsibility of replenishing the earth. Why does it have to be replenished? How come? Come on, think here. Why does the earth need replenishing? Folks, there's 8 people alive. There were millions, if not billions, before the flood. What does God desire? I want the whole earth covered, overspread. Replenish the earth, right? All right? So look at verse 4. I'll show you something very interesting here. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. It says you can start eating animals here. You can be meat eaters, but don't eat the blood. Look at verse 5. And surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. Did you see what happened right there? For the first time in your Bible, you know what? You have God commanding. Did you catch it? That is called capital punishment, the death penalty. If you murder, what's supposed to happen? You're supposed to be put to death. All right? Didn't Cain kill somebody? Was he put to death? You see how God's revelation unfolds progressively as you go through your Bible? Now, from here all the way through the rest of your Bible, somebody kills somebody, murder, cold-blooded murder, they're supposed to die. And I remember when I was a kid, that was the case in America. In most states. Not anymore, though. See how this world we live in just gets further away from the Bible. I mean, people were actually in America at one time, whether they knew it was in the Bible or not, the death penalty was carried out, and people thought that was justice. Nowadays, they don't even think that's fair. And that's totally fair according to what God said. All right. So let's see how they do. Go over here a couple chapters here. You got a few things there in chapter 9, God giving Noah the rainbow, the bow in the cloud, and then establishing a covenant with Noah. Chapter 10, you have one of those genealogies of Noah's family. Now, what were they supposed to do, folks? They were supposed to replenish the earth, right? Let's see how they did. Notice these responsibilities. This one seems pretty simple. Just have children and fill up the whole earth, right? All right, look what happens in chapter 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they... Hold on a second. Now, if you're reading there in verses 1 and 2, what's the they refer to? Come on, help me out here. You've got to pay attention here to the words in your Bible. Verse 1, I'll read it again. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they. Who's they? The whole earth. As they. That's the whole earth. As they journeyed from the east. What's the whole earth doing, folks? They're all together. They're unified. World loves that stuff. United Nations, right? You know what we have going on in churches today? The ecumenical movement, which is, I know we don't believe all the same, but let's get together anyway. For the cause of Christ, of course, they always say, which is not. You got ulterior motives with that stuff. So, you see here again, folks, this runs all through your Bible. If we had time to go through all of these tonight, you would see that God gives man a responsibility. And what does man continually do with that responsibility? He fails to carry it out. And what does God have no choice but to do every time? Drop the hammer and judge man for his not fulfilling the responsibility. So look what happens here. As they journeyed, verse 2, they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Now watch this part. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Folks, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to scatter and replenish the earth, weren't they? What do they say to one another? Let's all stay together instead of scattering. Are you seeing what's happening here? All through history, God gives His word, and what does man want to do? Just the opposite. Every time. All right? So, look what happens here, verse 5. And the Lord came down. Better watch out when that happens, huh? By the way, He's going to come down again in the future. Did you know that? Did you know when He comes back to the earth, I'm not talking about the rapture, when He comes back to the earth in the future, you know what reason He's coming back for? Judgment. And He's got to judge this earth for its wickedness at the end of the tribulation before His kingdom is set up. He's got to get rid of all the wickedness first. All right. So the Lord came down, verse 5, to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have, there's that word again, saw that over in chapter 6, which they have imagined to do. You want to do a little study in your Bible with a concordance. Study the word imagine or imagination in your Bible. you'll have a hard time finding any reference of imaginations being good all through your Bible. Because when man starts to imagine, you know what he starts to imagine? How great he is. Or how great he could be. Or how he could do this to be great. All right? So look what happens. Verse 7. Go to. Now this is God talking. Go to, let us go down. Hold on a second. There's got to be a mistake in your Bible there. God's not plural, is he? I remember the first time I came across this, one of those times somebody asked me a question. You know, pastor's talking about having the questions written out, and that is nice. First time I'd gone to preach at a jail. This is years ago when I was in Tennessee. And one of the prisoners comes up to me afterwards and asks me, how come? And it was one of those times where God gave me the answer. Why does it say us right there when God's talking, folks? Because God is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Nothing wrong with your Bible right there. Let us, all right? Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Okay, so there's judgment. That doesn't seem like anything harsh, but that was harsh judgment for people who have this imagination to build this tower into heaven. And if you think about this as you read it, God's got a sense of humor. Can you imagine what that tower looked like before their languages are changed? Here they are. They're rolling. You got a guy at the top. You got a guy right below him. I mean, you got like an assembly line going, right? Passing stuff all the top of the tower. Then everybody's speaking a different language. The guy at the top says something to the guy right below him. Can't understand each other. So he yells to the guy below him. They can't understand each other. And you got quite a situation there where nothing's getting done anymore because they're confused. You mean, why would God bring such confusion? For the sake of judgment. All right? And this is not a situation where a bunch of people die, like the flood. But you know what happens right here in Genesis chapter 11? God's judgment on a whole bunch of people who all want to get together and unite and get their own little religion together and make their own way to heaven. Sound familiar? God judges that, and God will continue to judge that. So if you look there, verse 8, so the Lord, what did the Lord do? He scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. So, folks, we've done three dispensations. God gave man a responsibility. Every one of them, man failed to keep the responsibility. And every one of them, what happened? The judgment fell, right? You know what God has to do in the next chapter? He gave that commission to Noah's sons about replenishing the earth, and that didn't work out so well because they all got together. So in chapter 12, you know what God says? He says, you know what? I'm going to start all over again with one man. And you know who that one man is? It's Abraham. And that one man, Abraham, is Isaac comes from him. Jacob comes from him. And we've been studying on Wednesday night. The 12 tribes come from him. And you better know a little bit about those 12 tribes because they're going to be real important in the future. All right? So that's just the first three, and every one of them failure. Now, I want to close with where we are today. Go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. How about today? You know, you can learn a lot about the present and the future by studying the past, right? Sure can. What about where we are today? Let me ask you this first. Just think in your mind here. What responsibility has God given man today? Number two, how is man doing carrying out that responsibility? Number three, is God going to judge those who don't carry it out? And what's he going to do to judge them? So think about those things here. Go to John chapter 3, and let's go down there to verse 14. John 3:14. This is Jesus Christ talking here, and he says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He's talking about going to the cross there, being lifted up. Verse 15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now that's good news right there. It's a lot of positive stuff there. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." A lot more good news there. Verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now watch verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Okay, so you have responsibility that you and I have today in those verses right there. You know what our responsibility is? Tell this whole world about Jesus Christ coming to die for sinners. And how by trusting Him, and only in Him, got nothing to do with what you do, you can be saved from God's wrath. Notice the word condemned in verse 18. Go down to verse 36. You see it again. Actually, go to verse 34. 334. For he whom God sent speaketh the words of God. Hey, that's part of your responsibility today, isn't it? Has God sent you? If you're saved, God's commissioned you. He sent you. What has He sent you to do? Speak the words of God. Look what else it says in verse 34. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You know what God's given you, folks? This is a little bit different in the Old Testament. God's put the Holy Spirit inside of you to permanently indwell you. That is unique, by the way. You don't find that in the Old Testament. He's also given you His complete Word. That's also unique. You don't have a complete Word of God in the Old Testament. And He's given that to us for us to do what in verse 34? Speak the words of God, right? Look at verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things in His hand. Now watch verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. All right, so responsibility. Tell people that Jesus Christ paid the price for their sins, right? Tell people that all they got to do is call upon Him, trust Him to be their Savior, and they can escape God's wrath, right? What are most people going to do with that? I don't care. No big deal. That crazy nut down there on the street saying that. What? That guy's crazy. Those people going door to door. What are they doing? That's crazy. What are they, fanatics or something? They've been given a responsibility by God to tell the truth. And those who reject it are going to face what you see there in verse 36. The wrath of God abideth on them. Okay? So you see, the responsibility that God's given you and me today is tell people what God said. What did God say? Let's get down to nitty gritty. People need to know that Jesus Christ died for their sins. And that all they got to do is call upon Him to save them. It's easy. Let's make salvation easy, folks. It's not complicated. It's easy. Understand that you're a sinner. It's easy as ABC, I've heard before. Admit that you're a sinner. Realize that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. Believe on Him. All right? Confess Him. And it's as simple as that, folks. It's not some kind of special words you got to say. It's not coming to church every Sunday. That's good, but that's not going to save you. It's not getting in the water. That's not going to save you for sure. It's believing on Jesus Christ. Now, how's the world doing with that today? Okay, let's turn it around on us, though. We could spend the rest of the night talking about how bad the world is, right? Well, the world's just a rotten place. Everybody, amen, right? This is a terrible place to live. How about us? Okay, we looked at all these different people, a few different people, who God gave a responsibility to. He gave them His Word. And He said, I want you to give this Word out, and I want you to tell people how to escape My judgment. All right, how are you doing with that? You got a responsibility. All right? And Paul said, if you read those verses again, that Paul talks about dispensations, he talks about that dispensation given to him being a responsibility. And when God gives you responsibility, folks, you better take it serious. Because if you don't take the responsibility serious, it will come back to haunt you at the judgment seat of Christ. That's not a heaven and hell thing. That's a matter of, did you do what God told you to do? Did you take care of the responsibility God gave you? These are kind of silly right here. But you know what? That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what you're supposed to be right there. Dispensers. This has got liquid in it. It's got some kind of stuff in it. You know what you're supposed to be dispensing, folks? The Word of God. The Gospel. You can't, I say this for myself and everybody, you can't dispense the Word of God if the Word of God is not in you. If this is empty, it's useless. It's a dispenser with nothing in it. What good is it? I'll throw it away. You got to have the Word of God in you in order for it to be dispensed. How are you doing with that? Spend the time getting it in you so that you can give it out. All right? I hope you understand how that goes all through your Bible. A dispensation has been committed to me and to you if you're saved. And you have a responsibility after you get saved to give out the Word of God. All right? We still, hey, it's July of 2016. We still can do it in this country. Can they say that in Canada? Not like we can. Go over to Europe and some of those places. You can't pass out literature. Door to door? Really? No way. Better take advantage while we got time, folks. We got a responsibility that we need to take seriously, and this dispensation given to us, we need to fulfill it as best we can. All right, let's bow our heads here tonight. We'll have a little time where you can respond to what God showed you here tonight. Lord, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us just how important your word is all through history and how you've always been faithful. Every time you're faithful to give it out so it's available to men. And here we've been given a huge responsibility, having a complete Bible and the responsibility of giving it out. Lord, help us to be faithful tonight, this week ahead, and giving out your word. May we be full of your word so we can give it out. And help us to respond appropriately here in this time of invitation. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.